Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
We got a lot going on until 10 o'clock this morning. Happy Easter weekend. Happy Passover to those of you that celebrate Passover. It's a lovely, lovely weekend. I'm turning into Peter Greenberg, you know, the travel guy. Every time he does his show, he's somewhere else. I'm actually coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana. We came down here for the holiday to see our daughter Mallory, who we haven't seen in a long time. So, if I sound a little full, it's because I am. Good morning to Dave Schwann and Andy Mazur.
Good
How are we
morning.
Doing, everybody?
I hope you're enjoying the food down there. It's some of the best I've ever had.
I got to tell you, Dave, it is not Seattle Sutton compliant.
I was just thinking about that.
I won't tell if you don't
tell. There is nothing Seattle Sutton compliant about the entire food scene here in New Orleans.
I realize
Good
that.
Good Lord. They are just the nicest people here.
They're just great. I love it down there.
Yeah, so genuine. And I think we have Lindsay connected.
I'm doing great, too. Thank you for asking.
Prior to us going, it was a whole thing of you connecting, so I was just making sure that you actually could speak.
Kidding. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Lindsay.
Anyway, so it's a nice nice holiday weekend, and I hope for those that celebrate, you do that together. And one of the Manfredini traditions actually it was my wife's family started this, is it's a whole big Catholic family. However, my wife's family, for probably more than 40 years, has always celebrated a Seder at Passover.
Really?
Yeah. As a bunch of Christians, so my late mother-in-law and a bunch of renegade Catholics back in the, I think it was the early 70s, got some priest to come and perform the traditional Seder of the, people of the Jewish faith. Mm-hmm. And because, the Last Supper was a Seder. And so that was sort of the impetus of the whole thing. And then when my mother-in-law passed away, my sister-in-law, Nora, kind of took over the reins. And then what's really beautiful about that is she's married to my brother-in-law Matthew, who is Jewish. So it's a nice homage to his faith. And we did that on Thursday night, which was really, really, it's always fun. My favorite part is the matzah.
Oh yeah,
with the horosis.
Mm-hmm.
And we use horseradish sauce on top of it.
Oh yeah.
Good Lord. You want to talk about cleaning out your sinuses? It's like, it's almost like you're taking a drug. You're like, I want more. I mean, it's just, you can't stop. It's so good. Oh my God, it's so good.
So nice.
That was a lot of fun. Oh, now, Dave Schwann, you're not normally with us on Saturdays.
Right.
And we have a thing that we do. We try and, the House Smarts Radio is all about teaching people things, right? And trying to give them information. So we started this thing where we do a word of the day.
Yeah, Andy was telling me about it.
I filled
this,
him in a little bit, yeah.
Fill me in a little more on how this works.
Right. So the whole idea is that we are going to learn a new word. And then the goal is for you and Andy and Lindsay and myself at some point during the show, and then a caller perhaps, to use the word in a sentence.
Okay.
Now, these are not just any words. I'm not really quite sure where Lindsay finds these words, because I've never heard of any of these words. So it is truly a learning, event.
Well, this will be fun.
The word today is pediculation.
Pediculation.
Pandiculation.
Pandiculation.
Like I said, pandiculation.
Can you spell this, Lindsay?
P like Peter.
Yeah.
A, N like Nancy. D, I, C, U, L, A, T, I, O, N. Pandiculation.
It's a noun.
Pandiculation.
Right. It is a noun, and the definition is it's a stretching or stiffening, especially of the trunk and extremities, as when fatigued and drowsy, or like after you're waking up from sleep.
Oh. Okay.
Such as my pandiculation process this morning is not great. Is struggling. My pandiculation.
You're right?
My pandiculation process.
Okay, as a stiffening of the extremities.
I don't know that that works.
Really?
I don't know that that works. My pedicellation process.
Yeah, because it's like this. It's the act of like waking up and your body is
stretching or stiffening. So, let me give you an example.
All right.
So we are staying down here with many of our children, we rented a little Airbnb, which we've never done before. The bed, not that comfortable. And this morning when I woke up to, you know, come down and set up to do the show, I just, my pendiculation coming out of the bed was just terrible.
That's what I just said. Your pendiculation process.
But I said it better.
Always.
So the towel has been dropped for you, Schwani and Andy.
Yeah.
And I guess, Lindsay, you and I are off the hook now. It's just you two.
Okay.
Already on it.
Come up with something. Andy's very good at stuff like this. So.
Oh, he's very good at it, right. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. You know what we do? We start the show with us calling you, not you calling us. And so now that I'm down in New Orleans, I don't have the big wheel with me, so I brought a little wheel that I could check. That's why it's a little quieter, and see who our first caller is this morning. Oh, all right. We're gonna go to Glenview. I wonder if we're gonna get any calls from New Orleans. If we have any, listen, we're gonna call Brian in Glenview. Let's give him a call.
Morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So my question is, we have a traditional bathtub with a surround of tile, and where the bathtub and the tile meet, there is grout.
Right.
And it consistently has buildup of mold. I often see caulk around tubs. What should one have, grout or caulk? And how do I fix this?
So there should never be grout between the tile line and the tub and or a shower base, because even though, you know, even if it's a cast iron or terrazzo, whatever it might be, when you're standing in there moving around, it is going to move ever so slightly, and you'll get no stretch from the grout. And then that's why the grout will crack. It'll get, the water will get underneath there when you get the mold. So what I would do is purchase, if it's just one tub, you can get a hand grout removal tool. It kind of looks like a toothbrush, but it has a thin blade with almost like little rocks on the end of it for the blade, and go, you know, horizontally along the edge of the tub and remove all that grout. Now, you know, if you wanted to use a power tool like a multi-tool with a grout removal blade or a rotary tool with said blade, that'll make life a lot easier, and you may find other spots that you want to touch up. But all that grout along that edge between the tile and the tub should be removed. Now, the other thing is, it's probably wet back there. So what you want to do, Brian, is let that dry before you re-caulk it. Do you have another bathroom in the house that you could use?
I do, and there's always the outside.
Okay, well, that's up to you. I guess you have an outdoor. We're talking about a shower, but anyway. So get a box fan once you take it all out, and put the fan on there overnight, and get it to dry as much as possible. Then go back and re-caulk that, and really do a good job of getting the caulk in there. Now, there's a myriad of caulks you can use. A lot of people will claim, oh, you got to use silicone, which is, it's very good, but silicone is a little tricky to use to get the kind of finish. The siliconized latex caulks are great. There's a company out of Colorado that makes a caulking that you can find at the hardware store, home center. It used to be called, and you still may find tubes called this, called Cleanz, C-L-E-A-N-Z, but now it's called Clean Seal. They are the same product, and they make it in white, clear, and almond. And it has an enzyme in it that will not allow the mildew and mold to grow.
That sounds like good.
Yeah.
So in one corner, it's actually where the, you know, there's grout connecting the two tiles. It's actually started to go vertical. Should I be trying to pull that out as well?
Well, yeah. So then in my world, in a shower with tile, the vertical joints where the two meet, that inside corner, take that out and caulk that. There, you don't have to be as critical to get as deep. Where the tile meets the tub, I want that all gone. But on the vertical one, if you can at least get an eighth of an inch of depth by using that grout removal tool or the multi-tool, whatever it might be, that will, then what from a aesthetic perspective, you know, you can take that caulk around the horizontal, draw that up on the inside corners, get it, tool it with your fingers nice and smooth, and then it'll look great, and then the water won't get behind there and then collect. So, yes, that would be in the perfect world, that's how it should be.
Lou, I really appreciate it today. Have a great show.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you calling. Happy Easter to you and your family.
You too.
857-557-4. Lou is our phone number. 857-557-4568. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
I had some problems. I had my particulation off this morning. I had two dogs laying on my legs all night.
Oh, my gosh. You're good. You're good. You are good. Let me give you a little something. There we go. Did you have a question besides your problem with your achy bones?
Yeah. I'm trying to get the 1898 house that we're renovating, trying to get paint off of wood. Someone painted the beautiful wood that's around the doors. And I'm trying to get all of that off.
So, you know, the biggest thing with the interior paint removal is you really got to be careful about the types of chemicals that you use, because it can come back to kind of, you know, some of that stuff is super harsh. There's two products, one that's readily available called Citrus Strip, and it works pretty well. You'll find it in an orange bottle, but it also, it takes a lot of time because it's not super aggressive, but it's way safer than some of the harsh chemical ones. Another product that I think that'll be a little bit harder to find but would be more effective is a paint stripper called Dumond. And I believe it's D-U-M-O-N-D.
Okay.
The Dumond.
That's the one that has three different.
Go ahead.
That's the one that has three different types of. That you put the paper on with?
They do have one where you put paper on it. That's true. And so the idea is you put the stripper on, and then they have these like paper blankets that come with it to kind of keep the stripper on whatever material you're using it on. And it works really well. I've seen several demonstrations by the manufacturer of this product, and I was super impressed. And then they told me, you know, I've mentioned this before on the air, that in the renovation of the Eiffel Tower, that's what they used to peel all the paint off of the metal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know.
And that one's safer with lead paint, right?
Totally safe. Well, so I want to, it's safe to use the product itself. Like, you could put your fingers in it and it won't burn your fingers, but it'll take it off. But if you're taking lead paint off, you really have to, you should be, it's not so much, you should wear a mask because, and certainly we've gotten used to that over the last few years, but, you know, because you're getting the paint, it's almost going to gel and liquefy a little bit when you take the stripper off. You're not inhaling anything because there's no real dust, but I would still, as a precaution, wear a mask, and I most certainly would wear some gloves because, you know, that constant touch with the lead, you just don't want to risk it, you know, long term. And if you've never done this before, I would definitely do some good rubber gloves that you can put on your hands when you're doing this work.
Yeah, I bought a box of nitriles and I'm asthmatic, so I always wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. So for sure for you. No question. No question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Have a nice Easter. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4 Lou. 857-557-4568. We are going to get back to more of your phone calls, but first, we're going to head into the WGN Radio Newsroom and check in with Dave Schwann. I think I could say, what do you do when you get two criminals and a carpenter together, Lindsay? What do you two criminals and a carpenter? What do you get?
I don't know what.
Good Friday.
Ah.
857 5574 Lou, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. It made me, it was one of those biblical, it took you a second. You're like, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? Let's go back to the phone lines this morning and talk with, this is Gail in Oak Forest. Hey Gail, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. We listen to you all the time, Lou, and I just cut granite countertops, and people are telling me different things to clean them with. And my mom says, you better call Lou, Gail.
Oh, okay. That's so nice. Do you love the granite countertops? What did you get? What, do you remember the name of the stone?
No. I bought it from a granite company in Crestwood, Granite Solutions.
Got it.
But all I know, and they said that they sealed it once before they installed it, and then they sealed it again when they installed it.
Right. So here's the thing. I just think it's always good to know what you have, because when people come over and they say, oh my gosh, what do you have? And then you can tell them that. So, because, you know, with granite, what's nice is there's really fun names. Like one of my favorites, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about fun words to say, and we used to have granite countertops in our kitchen called Uba Tuba, which was great. And it's just fun to say. Anyway, there's a company out of California that they are actually a family, I think 40-year-long business of installing granite countertops, and they invented what I believe to be one of the better cleaners and sealers out there, and the company's called Granite Gold.
Oh, okay.
They make a daily cleaner, comes kind of in a gold-colored bottle, of course, to go along with the name. But they make a daily cleaner that you're going to use that will not harm the finish, and it works really well. I've used it for years. They also make, for people listening, a quartz cleaner called Quartz Bright, which is very good. It's kind of a version of the daily cleaner for the granite, but a little bit different. And then as far as sealing it goes, Gail, in about 18 months, okay, I mean, are you someone, do you entertain a lot? Are you a cooker? As my kids used to say, my mom's a good cooker.
I love to cook.
Okay.
And especially in the summer, I like to get people over.
Okay. Yeah. Remember that even though you have a sealer, okay, granite is a porous surface. And so red wine or grape juice or, you know, you're not going to put a New York strip steak on the counter without, you know, having it soak in there. But in about 18 months, I want you to take a little bit of water and put it on top of the countertop in a spot where you always are working and doing stuff. If after about a half an hour that water gets absorbed into the stone, then it's time to reseal.
Okay. And that sounds good.
Right. Well, congratulations on the new counters. It's fun, right? That's like the countertops are really the jewel of the kitchen. They get all the credit, right? It's sort of like painters when I was a builder. You know, the painter comes in and paints everything, and they're like, oh, my God, I love the place. I'm like, what about all the 2x4s you can't see behind the drywall? And all they care about is the paint.
No, I know. I bought a whole house from a couple that were in their 90s, and there's a lot that needed to be done. But I did the bathrooms, and now I'm working on the kitchen. So fun.
That's
done,
so fun. I love projects.
My mom's 87. She just moved in with me about a year ago, but we've seen you everywhere you've come on the south side.
Oh, that's...
Fox Lumber, Bartolini's. Are you going to do that anymore?
I hope so. We haven't really, you know, we haven't talked about the remotes and stuff. It's something that, you know, you know what I think a lot of it is that people just need to be ready for it. And so we've talked about getting out on the road. So I would like to, I always like coming to the South Side because I know we've got some great listeners down there and it's always nice to see everybody. Hopefully, you know, maybe in the summer or the fall, we'll do something like that.
Oh, that sounds good. And when my mom moved in, she did with all her pictures. I have this wall that's loaded with pictures and she has pictures with celebrities and you're on my wall now too.
Well, I appreciate
you. She took a picture with you. Her name's Audrey.
Audrey?
Yes.
Tell Audrey, thank you for listening. Thank you for making me a C-minus celebrity on your wall. I appreciate it. I'm so happy that you listen. And good luck with the project as you get to do more of that stuff and you have more questions, Gail. Don't hesitate to call, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
You got it. Bye-bye. 857-557-4. Lou, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Mike over in Davenport, Iowa. Mike, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. It's an honor to be put on. We never miss your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Our question is, we have a kitchen backsplash that's tile, beautiful backsplash, and we had a little bit of a grease fire, and so there's a little bit of a stain in the tile. And, you know, we've tried salt, we've tried a lot of different things, and nothing seems to remove that kind of film. So I was wondering if you had any ideas.
Tell me about the tile. Is it ceramic tile, and you've got a film on the grout and the tile everywhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's try this because, you know, it could be, depending on that grease, depending on how hot it was, could have marred the clear finish on the tile. So what I'm going to have you do is going to let us know if that, in fact, is the case. There's a degreasing product that I really like called Challenger.
Okay.
Now, it is a pretty strong chemical, and what I want you to do is wear some rubber gloves, pour some of this full strength into, like, a bucket, and then take a sponge you don't care about and put it in there, get it damp, and then I want you to pat, because it's a liquid, right? It's going to run. So get a towel or a rag you don't care about as well on the countertop to catch anything that comes down. And I want you to apply this to the wall with that sponge and really kind of get it on there. Wait as it, you know, dry comes down a little bit, and then go back again. I want that cleaner to be on that tile and that grease for at least 10 minutes.
Okay.
Then, because it's such a harsh chemical, normally I would tell you to use like a brush on the end of a cordless drill, but I don't want that flying around. Get a plastic scrubbing pad, okay? A scouring pad, but plastic, because I don't want to scratch the tile. And with those same rubber gloves, go ahead and wipe down the tile and the grout. If we're successful, we're golden. If we're not, you're replacing the tile.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. It's Challenger, right?
Challenger, and you'll find it. You'll find it somewhere. A lot of Ace stores carry that.
Okay. Okay. We have a couple in our area, so we'll visit them. And again, Lou, thanks. Just love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for calling. 857-557-4. Lou is our phone number. We will take a quick break and be back right after this. This is Don in Waukesha. Hey, Don. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. What can I do for you?
Good. So we just purchased some outdoor wicker patio furniture, and it's got the factory, like a dark color with a satin finish on it.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's some kind of UV spray protection I can put on it before I put it outside.
Is it real wicker?
It's not.
It's not a plastic wicker.
No, it's a real wicker. It's real wicker, yes.
It's not easy to say, is it?
Yeah.
at 6:50 in the morning. Wheel wicker. yeah, there is. And I think that what would probably be the smartest thing for you is there is a company called Zar, Z-A-R, that makes a spray-on outdoor spar varnish. So the company's name is Zar, and you're putting on a spar varnish as a spray. And if you were to put that on there as a coating, it really would make a difference. Now, the thing with that is make sure that it's completely clean. I know that you said it's brand new. And maybe in the garage, you know, go ahead and spray it. It's a petroleum-based product, so it may be a little stinky. You know, keep the door open. I would spray it. And if you can leave it for 24 hours to dry and cure before you put it on, that would be great.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How many pieces of furniture do you have?
There's two chairs, kind of like a longer sofa type thing,
and then a couple tables.
Okay. I mean, you may need, you know, because they're just in spray cans, so something like that. I'd buy three spray cans, and, you know, if you don't use the third one, I'm sure you keep the receipt, you know, and you can take it back. But, sure. You know, that way you're in the project. And I wouldn't, don't feel the need to do, like, the underside of it, right? If it's not going to get, the part that's going to get the weather and the sun is the most important part. Underneath it, don't worry about that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, good. Appreciate you calling, sir. I hope you have a nice Easter and have a safe weekend, okay?
Happy Easter. Thank you.
Yep, 857-5574, Lou. I saw a post that kind of made me a little sad recently that 20 years ago, I don't know if you remember, but there was a news anchor that a gentleman by the name of David Bloom, who worked on the Today Show, and he was an anchor on Weekend Today. And I got to know David Bloom back then because I was, too, was on I used to do the Weekend Today show all the time. I mean, it was a crazy kind of time 20 years ago because I used to travel to New York on a Friday, and NBC, out of the goodness of their heart, would set me up in a studio in, like, Rockefeller Plaza. And I had an engineer, and it was like this amazing studio that they use for all this TV stuff. And they would do that for me. Oh, we want you to come do the week. Anyway, I got to know David Bloom, who passed away 20 years ago. And you may remember it was during the Desert Storm conflict where, you know, we were, you know, going after Saddam Hussein at the time. And David was embedded with the troops. And he and I were the same age, and he got sick and was had an embolism while he was traveling, and he died over there while he was working for NBC. And it was 20 years ago, and I can remember this gentleman. He was from Minnesota. He and I, you know, kind of struck it off because we were the same age. We had a couple. He had two daughters, and. At the time, yeah, we had 20 years ago, 23. Yeah, we had three children at the time, and he was just the nicest man, and he was just terrific. And I would text him when he was over there, and I remember receiving a text message. I'm like, "How's it going?" He was doing these reports. If you remember, they had connected a camera. It was like the first time anybody had seen that on these tanks or whatever they were using. Going through the desert, and he was reporting on top of these tanks, the camera shaking, and he's, you know, telling them as they're chasing after, you know, in that whole conflict, right? And I remember the last text message that he got sent me was, "I'm like, how are you holding up?" You know, and he's like, "It's amazing. You know, these troops are just amazing." And he's going on and on, and he's like, "Just, you know, think about it. Say a prayer for my wife and kids, because, you know, I'm going to be here for a while." And then I think, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, he passed away. It was awful. He was just a terrific guy. And there's a funny, we're so clueless, like two Midwestern guys. So this is when the Austin Power movies, Lindsay, remember those whole Austin Power movies were out, right? And so I did this segment once on a Saturday when I had this shag carpeting on the table, and I was going to show you how to take the stain out of it. And we're joking, and we're like, "Oh my God, you know, like Austin Powers." And we both say, "Shag me, baby." And we didn't even know what we were saying because evidently in Europe, in England, it has a different meaning than it does here. And then we got off the air and somebody's like, "Hey, you two yokels from the Midwest, you have no idea what you're talking about." So, God rest David Bloom and his family. His girls were now in their 20s. Just a lovely, lovely man. Really too bad to hear about that. 857-5574-LOU. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios in New Orleans. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 857-5574-LOU. And for both Dave Schwann and Andy Mazur, they use the word of the day. So a big... Oh, come on. Come on, work with me.
Ties.
To both of you, thank you very much.
Oh,
well done.
Just taking a little morning stretch.
And with sound effects, too.
Yes.
Yes.
See the things we're learning on this show?
This was fun. I'm going to come in every Saturday morning now, work with Don, and we'll collaborate.
Right, you're just going to walk in. Hey, Don, can I just help with the word of the day?
Can I put the word in?
Yeah. Dave, go home. Go home. You're not working. No, no, I just love the word of the day.
But now, have any of you used, except for Dave, I know, but have you used the word outside of the show? See, this is my next challenge, is I try to like go further, because if I don't use it, then I'll forget it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, you will. You will.
I mean, well, I don't use it all the time.
Well, when Andy and I are on with Dean tomorrow, we'll work it in somehow.
Right, work it in there, and just without even saying anything, and see if Dean notices. Right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. He's listening right now, probably.
Right. But hopefully he's asleep. Poor Dean. The man works harder than anybody I know. But I was thinking, you know how a few weeks ago we talked about fun words to say? You know, just words to say. You know, John Williams talked about it. Well, one of the restaurants that we went to yesterday for lunch was like a Middle Eastern restaurant. And one of the things that we got was Baba Ganoush.
Baba Ganoush.
That's fun to say. I even took a picture of it and sent it to Lindsay. I'm like, no, this is a fun word.
Well, now, what exactly is Baba Ganoush?
Delicious.
Well, what's it delicious of, though? What is it?
It's like a dip that you put on pita.
Oh, okay.
And this restaurant, the restaurant that we were at, okay, just to make everybody hungry, again, remember, it's Easter weekend, not Seattle Sutton compliant.
Nope.
Right? I'm really trying my best. And I do kind of avoid eating bread now, you know, it's kind of a good, you know, I just try and I love bread.
Oh, yeah.
Like Lindsay,
so
she loves
bread. Know.
Anyway, this restaurant we were at, and I can't, it's called Seiya. S-A-Y-A was the restaurant. They make their own pita in a brick oven right in front of you. So they bring out the pita that's like the size of a, not a dinner plate, but like a good size plate. And they just put it on right there, like hot. The guy puts it there, don't touch it just yet, like he says that to you. Because, and then, you know, our daughter Carmen grabs it. Ah, ooh, ah. You know, she's like flipping it up in the air. But anyway, then you take a little Baba Ganoush and you put it on the pita. And it is unbelievable.
Was that like your amuse-bouche?
Very good. Very good. Using one of the old words.
A Baba Ganoush they used in Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
I think Owen Wilson calls Vince Vaughn's character Baba Ganoush.
Baba Ganoush. Yeah. It is a fun word. Yeah.
It's a fun word to say.
Or it might be the other way around.
Almost fun as saying Vicky Kikuzian. That's another fun thing to say.
Ooh,
Vicky Kikuzian.
You know, there's another spread that you could put on pita or regular bread of some sort that is a Greek spread that's a fun word to say. Tiramisulata. You like tiramisulata?
Oh, that's a good one, too. Yeah. All kinds of fun words here Easter weekend with the big Easter brunches coming up, right? Everybody's going to get eat too much. We're not Seattle Sutton compliant. 857-5574 Lou. Oh, I want you to, on the 15th, tax day, tune in next Saturday, April 15th from 6 to 10 for our Home and Garden Show for tips to make your home and garden look its best. Our Home and Garden Show is sponsored by Center Guard Plumbing, expert plumbers you can trust. Visit WGNPlumber.com. Coast of Maine, celebrating sustainable gardening since 1996, and uglydeck.com, maintenance-free decking and railing for the do-it-yourselfer. That's all coming up next Saturday, April 15th. I hope you'll join us starting at 6 a.m. We're going to have all kinds of terrific information for you that I think you'll really, really find useful. 857-5574 Lou is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone calls now. This is Joe calling in from Muskego, Michigan. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning. I had to rebuild my pergola, and I went out to the home center, and I bought this treated lumber, and I get it home, and if I push something like a screwdriver on it, it's like water oozes out of it.
Yeah.
How long do I have to wait to use this so I don't have to worry about shrinkage?
Well, so how long did you just buy it?
Oh, about a week and a half ago.
Okay. when you buy treated lumber, there's two types you can buy. There's the one you bought, which is treated, and it's what they call wet wood. And then you can buy treated lumber that's kiln dried. The problem with the kiln drying is it costs more, but it's easier to work with, and you have less twisting and checking, because when you see the board, that's basically what it's going to look like. With what you purchased, what I worry about is that when you go to put this on and, you know, put pieces in there, as it's suspended in the air or turned, as it starts to dry out, which could take a month, it's going to move on you. Now, did you buy it from a big box lumber yard or a local lumber yard? Who'd you buy it from?
It came from Menards.
Okay. They'll probably take it back, and you could swap out to go to the kiln dried if Menards sells it at that one. That's a better way to go. That wet wood, I mean, I used to build decks with Mike, and, you know, we would cut some of that wood way back when. It was before they had kiln dried treated lumber, which is how old I am. And you would take a circular saw through it, and it literally would be dripping as you're cutting it, which is crazy.
Right.
And it just causes more problems for you. How many boards are we talking about? Like, are you doing little sections of it, or are you rebuilding?
Four boards at this point.
Oh, okay.
And they're sitting on my back patio with spacers between them drying out, but I could take those back.
Take them. You know what, if it were me and I was working on this project, take the four boards back, buy the kiln dried, which will cost you a couple bucks more a foot, but then you can just get to work and get it done.
Okay, great. One more question.
Yes, sir.
When are you going to Ireland?
April 15th.
Well, have a great time and enjoy the beautiful, beautiful scenery and the friendly, friendly people.
Oh, my gosh. We cannot wait. That's so nice of you. We're going to be – I'm going to do my show next – Lindsay, that's next week, 15th. So we're going to do the show from Chicago. Then we're going to get on a plane. And then the following Saturday, we're doing the show on the 22nd from Dublin, Ireland. I am like Peter Greenberg.
It's a great place.
Yeah, I can't
it's
wait.
It's a trip driving, but
yeah, I'm not driving. I'm letting somebody else do that. Yeah, no, I have no interest in driving on the wrong side of the road. That to me just freaks me out.
The other
no interest
side of the
whatsoever.
Road.
It's a challenge.
What did I say?
Thank you for your help.
Appreciate it. What, the wrong side of the road?
Yeah. Oh. I wouldn't say that over there.
Right, they probably don't like that. Right, this is the wrong side of the road, and they'll be like, "No, we were here first." Right? Right. How are we doing on our Irish? We are so excited about that Irish broadcast. It's going to be so much fun. We're at the Pierce Lyons Distillery, which they make such a collection of beer and spirits and stuff that are so, they look so delicious. I got to go to a liquor store, and I think what I need to do is maybe do some taste testing before I go there. Right, so that I have a little bit of experience. I don't want the first time I ever have any of their stuff
practice, like
to be
warm
there.
Up.
Right. Oh, because then when they hand it to me, oh, I love this. I love the fruity finish or something like that. I want to be able to say something like that, right? That's going to be fun. And we have a special, you know how there's the WGN store now? You know,
yes.
There's the WGN radio merch store,
yes.
That I probably am supposed to read something about. I will read that later. Mm-hmm. But we have some special House Smarts Radio Mr. Fix-It swag that will be debuted in Ireland to all of the people coming on the trip. They will be the first to have said item, which is not available on the merch store yet. I'll have to work that out.
It's a limited edition.
It is a limited edition. Very good. Very good. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Good morning, Lou. I just heard your commercial. I have a ring around the toilet bowl. I must have missed that Saturday where you gave the answer on how to get rid of that ring.
Oh, yeah.
At the water line.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you've tried everything, right? Or no?
Right.
Yes? You have?
Well
okay.
But
here.
Yes, I'm calling you.
Well, good. That's good. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help. Let me ask you this, Annette. It is a white toilet, correct?
Correct.
All right. So there is a product that is called, oh my God, I'm having a moment here. It's in a brown bottle. Say it again. I can't hear you. You're talking, but I can't hear you. You need to turn on the switch. Then your microphone works. A lot of buttons for you. No, not Hurricane. The one that goes in the for the rust in the bowl.
Wink.
Wink. Thank you.
Oh.
See?
People helping people.
God, I tried Wink.
So Wink is...
I used it on everything else.
Yeah, Wink is a terrific product, and it really is the... This is what I would do. Take a measuring cup and go into the toilet and pull out some of the water that's in the bottom of the bowl. I want the water level to be below the line that you're trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just dump it in the sink. Then take the Wink wearing rubber gloves and squirt it right like around the top edge of the toilet, you know, just under the rim so that it falls over this line. And then let that kind of do its thing. Make sure that it covers it all. Then with the same glove, take a Scotch-Brite pad, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Even my wife is listening, and she said, Wink. and so what I would do is do that, and it should wipe away. If it doesn't come off with the Wink, you're done. You need a new toilet.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm just telling you, that is the strongest cleaner for this. I'm sure it'll work, but...
Well, I've used it on a lot of other things. I didn't think about using it for that.
Look at us.
So,
look at us figuring things out.
I've got a bottle upstairs. I'll go use it.
What are you doing for... What are you going to... Do you celebrate Easter?
Yes, I do. We go to Mom's.
You're going to Mom's? And is there, like, some thing that you're excited about, you know, for the food? Like, does your mother make something like, you know, I don't know.
Well, Mom makes the ham, and then we all bring...
The sides.
Everything else, all the sides.
Yeah.
I get most excited about tonight I make a lamb. Mm. That's my favorite.
See, these vegetarians in my life, like Lindsay, you're missing out on the lamb. You're missing out on the lamb and the ham.
The lamb and the ham.
Yeah. I mentioned that I went to lunch at this Middle Eastern restaurant, and our son Max, who was with us, he had a lamb burger that was unbelievably delicious.
I have to ask you, Lou, do you have Easter pizza? Because I am Italian.
Easter pizza? No. What's that? Sounds delicious.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's a dough. It's like a pie.
Yeah.
And it's got ricotta and sausage in it with all real nice Italian spices.
Doesn't sound
with an egg wash on
doesn't
the
top. Sound does not sound Seattle Sutton compliant, but sounds delicious.
Well, probably not, but it's good.
Well, since
that's
you're
what I get excited
since
about.
You're Italian, then I'm gonna say to you, Buona Pasqua. I hope you have a lovely Easter.
Thank you. You too.
857-5574. Lou is our phone number. 857-557-4568. Speaking of all this food, our new Lou 2, I'm really excited about. I'm more excited about the interview we're going to do after 8:30 this morning with a company out of Oregon that makes their own knives. This was what I couldn't remember yesterday with Bob Surratt. I was like, who are we talking to on Saturday? It's a lot to go. I was driving to the airport and, you know, trying to remember all that stuff. It's
very
hard to
busy.
Remember.
I know.
I can barely remember a Wink, for crying out loud. Anyway, this company makes their own knives. I totally want these knives, but I'm going to preface this when you listen. You need a lot of money to buy these knives, but they're made in America. I mean, it would be like... If you bought it as a gift, it would be like, I bought you this great set of knives. For the rest of your life, I'm not buying you anything else. Right? They're not cheap.
Well, I should have asked you I should have asked for those from our wedding. You guys got us our knife set for our wedding. This should have gone this route.
Are you still using those knives?
We are.
I do remember we got you.
Remember? It was like a big thing between my husband and I. Because I was like, those are too expensive. We can't ask people to buy these for us.
Who came through? Lou and Mary Beth. Why? Because we love you both. 857-557-4 Lou. Let's jump into the WGN Radio newsroom and check in with Dave Schwann. We were at the Inspired Home Show, and this product, you know, there's it's funny when we go and look at these products, and Lindsay will she'll support what I'm about to say. We have worked together a very long time, and she kind of knows what I'm going to like when we go to the show, and then every now and then I surprise her. But then every now and then she sees something, she's like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love it. And the juxtaposition is, you know, she is a young mother, and so where she is in her life is different than where an old man like me is. Listen to this. This is kind of funny. We were joking. I don't have any grandkids yet.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that someday when I go to be a grandfather, like, what I want to be called. You know what I mean? Like, with the Italian side, it would be nonno. Mm-hmm. No, 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 I'm a nonno, right? That means grandfather in Italian. And like, my kids, my father-in-law, they call him Papa, which I kind of like, mm-hmm. right? But now I'm down here in New Orleans, and Mallory and her roommate, Eliza, lovely girl, she's from Atlanta. You know what she calls her grandfather?
What?
Big Daddy.
Stop.
That's cool.
That's really funny.
Because he's like, I don't want to have a name that makes me feel sound like I'm old. Big Daddy. I mean, Big Daddy.
I love it.
Big Daddy. Hi, Susie, my granddaughter, Big Daddy. Right? That's cool.
I totally get it. I don't want to be a grandma. I mean, grandma's, it's wonderful, but like, I don't know. I agree. I don't know. I've
Mary Beth said, time. No way.
No way. No, no.
No, no. No way. No, no. Okay. So anyway, this product, our new Lulu 2, back to that, was one that you saw and you loved it. And then I saw it and I go, I love it. And this is something so much fun that you can do with the kids and your grandkids, whether you're a nonno or a big daddy. See what I did there?
One of my favorite memories growing up is decorating cookies with my mom. Along with many other things I took for granted as a child, little did I know the work she put into cutting out all those little wreaths or pumpkins or Easter bunnies with the cookie cutters. Fast forward to today as I bake cookies with my own kids. By the time the cookies have been made, chilled, cut, baked, and cooled, we're all pretty much distracted and over it, and I end up throwing the frosting and some sprinkles on myself, which is supposed to be the best part. What if there was one smart cookie out there to make the process more simple? This just in, this weekend's new Tulu 2 is the One Smart Cookie Cutter Tray, invented by, well, one smart cookie of a mom named Yoli, who felt the exact same way I did. She created a sheet to cut out multiple cookies for you, making it easier and less messy so that we can get to the best part, decorating and eating. No chilling the dough, no guesswork for thickness or spacing, no flour, no mess. The cutter sheets are 16 by 12 inches. Each contain about 8 to 10 shapes, so you're cutting multiple cookies at the same time, and they come in different themes. There's holiday sheets, like Christmas, gingerbread men, Halloween. There's hearts. The one we got has rainbows and unicorns on it. After you make, or in my case, buy the sugar cookie dough, you just lay the One Smart cookie sheet on a cutting board or a mat and press a bit of that cookie dough into each of the shapes. Then lay some wax paper over the top and use a rolling pin to kind of smush it into the shapes. Remove that wax paper and peel away the tray and voila! Put those babies in the oven and you're ahead of the game already. The One Smart cookie sheet is a game changer in the cookie cutting field. Each tray goes for $14.99, and you can find out more on Lou's How Smarts Radio YouTube page.
I mean, it's like a production sheet for making multiple cookies.
Yeah.
And I mean, because the thing is, especially if you have more than one child, or you're making cookies for, and like, hey, Lindsay, can you bring some cookies? You know, whatever. And you can crank these. Once you make the dough, it's like bang bang.
Well, it's just, and it takes that pain out of like putting the flour on the counter and then having to roll with the rolling pin and then get it all messy and then peel it back up and then the spacing is off. No, it was genius. It is genius.
Yeah. Go to youtube.com/HowSmartsTV and you can learn more about One Smart Cookie. 857-557-4 Lou, 857-557-4568. This is Chris in Batavia. Chris, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter back at you. Thank you.
How may I help
you? So you guys were talking about getting rust and stuff off of toilets. I just turned it on when you were talking about Wink. And as a remodeler, back in when I was remodeling, there's a product called Rust Raze, R-A-Z-E. And it's a powder. Same thing. You kind of let some water out of the toilet, scoops them out. Get it wet, and you put this powder on there, and it's great for getting rid of rust stains in tubs. I did a couple of old, and my house is over 100 years old, rusty underneath the faucet in the tub, and it does a fantastic job for well water rust.
Is it
it's kind of smelly.
Is it like a kitchen cleanser type of product?
It's not. It is in that it shakes out. Like a powder, but it's not really an abrasive that way. It's more of a chemical reaction. And the nice thing is you can mix it into a paste, sort of, and put it on a really tough area, and it'll hold on there for a while, as opposed to, you know, a liquid that might rinse off. It smells terrible.
I've never heard of it. I'm going to look it up. You said Rust Raze, R-A-Z.
Rust Raze, R-A-Z-E, yep.
That's a good. Well, hold on. I'm Rust Raze. Let me see if I can find it. Oh yeah, I don't think I've now. Let's see. It's It's made by Morton. That's funny.
I think it's been around for a while.
Yeah,
I used it. I'm not a remodeler anymore. I'm a home inspector now.
Oh, nice.
In the remodeling days.
Yeah.
I would use that on a lot of old stuff and. And it's got some good holding power, so you know you could put it on, sprinkle it on.
That's the biggest challenge with those products is that a lot of them drip away, and you need the cleaner to sit there and do its job for a little bit. That's a really good tip. I appreciate you calling with that, Chris.
Fantastic! Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. But have a great weekend. I appreciate you joining the show. Rust Raze. I'm going to check that out and see. I'm going to give it a shot. I've got a couple spots where I could put that to use and see if it works. 857-5574 Lou is our phone number. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios in, where am I? New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, good morning. I just moved into a duplex, and there was a smell when was looking at the house, and the realtor told me, oh, that's because she smoked. We had the whole house dusted, the ductwork clean, everything. Well, it still smelled. I had the whole house painted. I put all new flooring in. I still have the smell. Now, I took the vents off and looked in the ductwork, and boy, it looks like it's brand new. I don't know where else to go.
Jim, hold on now. When you say it still smells, it smells like cigarette smoke?
You know what? I can't tell if it's cigarette smoke or if it's a cleaning solution.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there anybody, like, do you have some friends or somebody with maybe a different nose to come in and kind of help you identify it?
Yeah, I have some girlfriends.
Well, and I mean, it has been my experience that women have a more sensitive sense of smell than men. The reason is, it might be helpful to have them come and say, oh, it's coming from over here, Jim, or I think it smells like this because, okay, so you painted the whole house. You replaced all the flooring. Yeah. Is there a basement or a crawl space? What does the house have?
No, it's on a slab.
It's on a slab. Okay. Go ahead.
The cabinets. I haven't done the cabinets yet, and that was another question I was going to ask. They feel greasy to me at the top. You know how after if you don't clean them enough.
Yep.
I'm wondering, could that be it?
I mean, it could be. In particular, if you go, you know, in other words, do you notice when you're in the home certain areas that it's more prominent?
Yeah. It's more in the living room and the kitchen here.
Near the kitchen.
It's all one big room.
Okay, let's try this
don't
then.
I don't smell it so much in the bathroom.
All right, so you said you didn't do anything in the kitchen yet. Did you replace the flooring in there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole house got new flooring.
But not the carpeting, not the countertops in the kitchen?
No.
All right.
No.
Put a and did you do any of this work yourself, or did you have somebody do it?
No, I had professional. I'm 80 years old.
Okay. All right. So, all right. So if you have someone that can do this, this is the tip I want you to do. Have them put a tarp over the countertops and over the flooring area in the kitchen, that greasiness that you talk about. And the cabinets, I assume, are like a wood finish cabinet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to paint them white, so that's
okay.
why I want to clean
But before them. We do that, I want you to have them buy a couple of bottles of Howard's Restore a Finish in the neutral color.
Okay.
Then with a with some steel wool, like quadruple zero steel wool, so four zeros, right? They're gonna put this in a container, and they're gonna go wearing rubber gloves, and they're gonna go with the grain on the cabinets, and they're gonna remove all that grease and soot. And maybe, like, the cabinets, do they extend all the way up to the ceiling, or is can you put stuff on top of it?
No, they're small cabinets, maybe 3 foot.
All right. Have them clean the top of the cabinets, too, okay? That would just a cleaner, not the Howards. And have them do the doors inside and out and the frames of the cabinet to remove any of that. That grease could be holding. It's really it should work, and if that all of a sudden eliminates the problem, then we know that that area is there. And then if you eventually have the kitchen cabinets painted, you know, at least we know we can localize where that is. And then with the ductwork, and you said it's brand new,
Well, it's not brand new, but it's so clean.
It looks clean, yeah.
Not even dust up there, yeah.
The other thing that I would try is, obviously, you have forced air heating. What kind of filter do you have in the furnace? Is it just a regular inexpensive spun fiberglass, or can you put a pleated filter in there?
Oh, I could put a pleated. It's not a pleated right now.
That could definitely help, okay? But I think that if you concentrate on the kitchen with the cabinets and the grease and stuff that you're talking about, the other thing, too, is do you have a stove range that can be pulled out, or is it a cooktop?
No, it's a stove range.
Pull that out. It's probably full of grease behind there, too.
Okay. All right.
You got your mark. You got
all that. I'll call you back and let you know how I do.
I appreciate that. I hope you have a nice Easter and good luck with that project. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568. Let's see. We have time for this, too. Les is in Chicago. Hey, Les, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going well. How may I help you this morning?
Put some wet and forget on a Trex deck. And now it's got a white haze that we can't seem to get off. It's a, we tried just like minor, like Dawn with a brush and stuff like that. We haven't power washed it or anything. And I just wonder if you had any ideas.
When did you put this on?
I think it went on like last summer.
Oh, last summer?
It's been on for a while.
Okay. And tell me, the Trex decking that you have, is it a capped decking or is it an older Trex decking?
I don't think it's capped. It's an older one. It's probably put on like 2017 maybe.
Okay. So when you look at it, there's more of a... Now the Trex decking is all capped like a golf ball. That's not what it looks like.
No.
Okay.
It looks like a golf ball. Kind of like got the grain in it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And you put it on last summer. Can you tell me when you put it on last summer? Like, was it a hot, sunny day?
I can't
remember.
Tell you.
Yeah.
My girlfriend put it on. I didn't. She just decided that, you know, it was good to...
Okay.
I guess there was some slippage problems, and she thought that this would help us.
Okay. And the only reason I want to ask you is because this normally never happens with wet and forget, and I'm just wondering, and I don't know if you're going to remember this, was it a concentrated product? Did she put it in a pump sprayer and mix it with water, or was it the one that goes on the end of a hose?
I
You don't know.
I would think it was. No, I'm not positive on it, but you know, it's like I can find out.
Okay, so this is what I think may have happened, is that if you buy the concentrated wet and forget and you don't mix it with water, which you have to, this can happen.
Okay.
So maybe, and I'm just offering this as something to ask these questions. And she said, "Oh, I bought a blue bottle of the wet and forget, and then I poured it on, or I stuck it in a pump sprayer, and if you don't mix it with water, this can happen over the top of it." So the concentrated has to be mixed with water. Otherwise, that's where this haze can come from. Now, it goes, so if for some reason, you know, she says to you, "Oh, yeah, I didn't know you mix it with water," whatever, then it's counterintuitive to what they advertise, but because the application was, you know, wasn't right, you're going to want to you're going to want to use a pressure washer on that to clean it up.
Okay.
Just water, and it should come up. And then, so for Trex decking, especially your decking, wet and forget is the perfect solution when it's mixed properly.
Okay.
All right.
I have to have her show me the bottle.
Right. And just find out if, in fact, she mixed it with water, you know, if you still have the bottle.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right, my friend.
And if it's not,
if
it was the mixed stuff,
If she did mix it, you know, and has that issue that, you know, no, I really mixed it. You know, the people at Wet and Forget are awesome, and they would probably love to come out and take a look at it. They would to just see what went wrong, because this really never happens.
Okay.
But my guess is, because I've seen this before, is and this was, they used to, when Wet and Forget first came out, they used to hang these tags on the bottles because they were kind of had a funny little sense of humor, because people would be like, "Oh, well, if I mix it with water and it's going to work, it must do great if I use it full strength. It's not designed to do that." And then people would have these issues. And they do make pre-mixed stuff as well, but they've kind of solved the problem by going with this Extreme Reach hose end product that is working out just fine. Thanks so much for the phone call. Wow. I got behind. I apologize to Dave Schwann. Oh, don't go anywhere. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll be right back. How may I help you this morning? I was mentioning to you that there's the merchandise store at WGN Radio. Lindsay, did you know that you can buy all kinds of WGN Radio merch online? Show the world you're a fan of WGN Radio with the official WGN Radio swag. You shop the WGN Radio store online at WGNradio.com/store. The store is stocked with mugs and tees and sweatshirts and a variety of other things you can find, colors, fits, and styles, so you're sure to find something you'll love featuring Chicago's very own WGN. I wonder if there's a WGN throw blanket. Like that, I would like to curl up with a little blanket, you know, like a warm blanket. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
I mean, I know we're great in the summer.
Cozy.
But, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't. Here down in New Orleans, don't need a blanket.
No.
It's sure hot. And, well, it's not hot, but it is humid down here.
What's the temperature, Lou? How warm is it down there?
Well, it's overcast right now. It's actually nicer in Chicago than it is here. It was raining last night. I'm going to say it's close to 70.
70? Okay.
It's gonna be 70.
66.
You know? 66?
Close enough.
Scattered showers, chance of rain 90%.
Well, I'm inside, but I'm looking, you know, our daughter lives in what they call the Lower Garden District. Beautiful. They have a little backyard, and it's unbelievably green and lush. Like, everything just grows. It's ridiculous. She has this plant on the table. I'm at the kitchen table here, and it's right by the outside window. It is the most beautiful plant. And as far as I can remember, my daughter Mallory doesn't have a green thumb. Maybe her roommate does. But I was like, wow, these things just grow. And it's just the humidity and the really funny. Really funny. But anyway, you can go to, what's that?
The moistness of it all.
Your favorite word. Anyway, the store has all kinds of stuff to choose what you want and get it shipped straight to you. Go to shopwgnradio.com. Go to wgnradio.com/store. That's wgnradio.com/store. And then one other quick side note. Misericordia's Candy Days are coming up. It's always the last weekend in April, and I have a virtual candy jar. Once again, WGN was so kind to let me put that up, and we're trying to raise a bunch of money for Candy Days. Join me and my family in supporting my favorite charity, Misericordia. This month, we'll be filling my virtual candy jar for Misericordia's annual Candy Days. 100% of the money raised helps Misericordia's programs for over 600 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. If you go to WGNradio.com/candy, you'll find the link to donate. That's WGNradio.com/candy. Who doesn't love some candy, right? I want a big ol' Reese's Easter egg. That, to me, the Easter egg of the Reese's is the best peanut butter to chocolate ratio, better than the cups, mm-hmm. right?
I can see that, yep. My daughter gave up the Reese's for Lent. And it's been hard. That was a tough one for her.
Sure.
I'm sure the bunny's going to bring her some big old eggs.
Kids don't have to give stuff up. I thought it was like you don't have to do that.
She wanted to give up her iPad, and I said no.
You said no?
Well, that thing comes in handy once in a while.
Oh, to keep them busy. Right. I get it. That's funny.
So we went with the Reese's.
Good. 857-557-4LU is the number. This is Kathy in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Kathy. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Lou, when I walk out of my kitchen, I walk onto a stoop, concrete stoop, that's about, I guess, I don't know, 4x4 or 5x5.
Okay.
I want to stencil it this summer. I don't have a pressure washer. It's never been cleaned. I've been here 25 years. And also, at the very top, the association, like, there's two cracks that had filler concrete put in.
Mm-hmm.
What should I clean it with, and do I really have to have a pressure washer?
Wait. So what do you mean you want to stencil it? You mean you want to, what do you want to do?
Paint it. You know, and they put a stencil, and then they paint it, and it's a design.
Are you having someone do this?
No, they show it on Pinterest all the time.
Okay, I'm just asking. I just want to know. And so you're just gonna. This is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
All right. So since you want to do it sooner than later, what I would do mm-hmm. is go buy a gallon of. No, let me think about this. Why do you got to do all that?
Okay.
You got any pine salt? Do you have any pine salt?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Get a bucket, fill it up with water, put a cup of pine salt in there.
Uh-huh.
Get down on your hands and knees, which you're going to have to do when you do your stenciling, and scrub the top of that stoop.
Okay.
All right, and get it. Scrub it. You're going to see all the dirt come up. Let the pine salt sit there for a little bit. Scrub it. Do you have access to a hose?
I do.
Hose it off, right? Let it go. Now, the cracks that you talk about, are the cracks mm-hmm. and the stoop, is the stoop level or is it one part higher than another?
It looks level.
Okay. So, and there is filler in there now?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to paint over it and do your stenciling, and you're going to somehow hide the cracks in your stencil.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, like, painted a white, and then the stencil will be maybe a gray or something like that.
Now, you're going to want some kind of texture in this, too, because it's your stoop.
Okay.
So if you're going to use some type of exterior paint, like an exterior floor and porch paint... My recommendation is when you go buy that paint, at the paint store, they have these little bags of silica sand.
Silica, uh-huh.
Put that in the paint, stir it, and when you apply that, that sand is going to be embedded in the paint, and it's going to be non-slip.
Oh, okay.
Then you let that dry,
okay.
And then you do all your Pinterest stenciling, and then the neighbors will love it, and they'll be like, oh, my gosh. Look at how beautiful this looks. We should get Kathy to come over and stencil our thing. And then before you know it.
She says, no way, Jose.
Why? You know what's going to happen?
Oh, no, I only do Go ahead.
No, you know what's going to happen is you're going to wake up one morning with all this panticulation in your back.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not going to be good. Anyone? No, you didn't even hear it. I did panticulation, and you didn't even hear me.
Now, Lou, you said sooner than later. Are you telling me, I'm sorry, are you telling me I should do it like in the spring? Is that what? Or?
Well, my point was that, you know, like I talk about this wet and forget product, you could apply that to the stoop, but it takes about 30 days for that to really work. And the fact the fact that it's only a small stoop, then why do you want to, you can do it quicker with the Pine Sol and scrub. It's just a small area that you can go, rinse it, and then,
once
we start to warm up, here we are, almost the middle of April, this is absolutely something. You just want to make sure that when you're doing it, we got a few dry days, right? Let that concrete dry really well. Do you know the products you're going to use, or you're going to figure that out?
I'm going to figure it out.
All right. So you want an exterior concrete paint. The paint has to be exterior-based with a UV protection in it.
Now, when it dries, do I need to, create a tent or no? Just let the sun take care of it.
A tent, you mean?
Yeah, I'm afraid that the outdoor elements are going to blow dirt on it.
Well, I mean, there's always a risk, but I mean, the thing is, the you're going to use a waterborne paint, which will it'll be tack fast within an hour or so, right?
Oh,
but then you need to let it dry for at least 24 hours, so you should be fine.
Okay, all right, wonderful. Thank you.
You've got your project set up for you. Happy Easter. I appreciate you calling. It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new over at Builder Supply Outlet.
Good morning, Lou. Happy Easter.
You too, sir. How may I help you?
A couple quick questions. Several months ago, it might have been a year ago, you had referenced a paint that's great for covering like furniture and doesn't require a lot of prep work and sanding.
Yeah. It was a primer. It was a bonding primer called Stix, STIX.
Stix, okay. Because we did use that on a rocking chair. We want to do something else, and it worked great.
Oh, you did use it?
So, yeah, we did. We used it on a rocking chair back when you first referred it, and then we wanted to do it again, and we couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a table.
It is really, really good. You do want to do a little bit of prepping, a little bit of sanding, but you don't need to, if it had some type of finish on it or something like that, you don't have to get it all off. And when you're done and you put it on, like when you did the rocking chair, you get kind of almost like an egg finish. Egg meaning like the exterior of an actual hard-boiled egg type of thing.
Right, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And it's held up great.
That's awesome.
With four grandkids jumping on it. So. the other question I had is over at our church, we're going to be painting a wrought iron railing. And it's painted brown It doesn't have a whole lot of, chipping or rust. We're looking at doing a Rust-Oleum. There's an aluminum Rust-Oleum paint.
Yeah.
So I was more concerned about what the prep with it, how much sanding or wire brushing or what needs to be done to do the job properly.
So you're gonna paint it a silver when it's all said and done?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw over at Home Depot or Lowe's or something, they have a Rust-Oleum aluminum paint.
Yeah, been around for a long time. It's that was one of the first paints that Rust-Oleum invented when they came up with their primers and their first lines of paint. That aluminum paint's very shiny. It's oil based. But what I would do as far as the prep work goes, is it a big railing?
Yeah, it's quite. It goes up. There was a ramp put in, so it goes up along the ramp. And another aluminum railing there, but they didn't take the other one out. Blend in.
So when you go to the home center or the hardware store, buy a few wire brushes to go on the end of the cordless drills. Okay. Because that'll make your life a lot easier. And then you probably want a couple of wire brushes by hand too, just to get into smaller spots. But try and get as much of that off as you possibly can. On the top part of the rail, where you may get some patching, you know, like scrape where sand it so it's smooth, you know, as much as you can. And then anywhere there's bare metal, Rust-Oleum makes a primer called Rust Stop, okay? And they make it in a white and a red and a black, whatever you want, doesn't matter. Go ahead and put that on first. When that dries, if there's a little bit of buildup here and there, especially on the top part of the handrail, sand that down nice and smooth, and then go over it all with the aluminum from the Rust-Oleum with a small rollers and brushes combination of the two. Make sure you tarp everything underneath it because it is oil-based. It's very strong. But when you're all done, you'll be amazed at how shiny and how nice it looks when it's all completed. But the secret sauce is cordless drills with the wire brush, hand brushes, the Rust Stop primer first, then the silver as well. Jerry, thanks so much for the phone call. I am bumping up against time. When we come back, we're going to talk with a founder of a company that makes knives for the kitchen in the USA. They are absolutely beautiful. They're not cheap, but they are so, so nice. First, let's head into the WGN Radio Newsroom and check in with Dave Schwann.
The joke is, you know, before I do any cooking, I love to cook. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen making things. I have a decent set of knives, but I discovered an even better set of knives when it comes to prepping this. Joining me on the phone line is Ron Cormai, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Steelport Knife Company. Ron, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for the opportunity to share the story of this American-made premium knife with your audience.
I'm so happy to do it because we were a few weeks ago walking through the Inspired Home Show and came across your booth. And as I mentioned, I'm a big fan of American-made products, but I'm a big fan of just really well-made products. And I had an opportunity to not only look at the products that you make, but feel them, touch them, the balance, how it felt in my hand. Tell me a little bit about your company and how you got started to build knives in the U.S.
Oh, that's a great place to start. Actually, my personal background is I have my degrees and education in engineering and material science and area, and got into the general field of engineering, and as the field went in the, up to early 2000s, was working on a lot of exporting technology and knowledge out of U.S. just because that was a trend. Mm-hmm. And in about the 2010 timeframe, I found the opportunity to reverse that and get out of large companies and get into building high-quality products in the U.S. So started another company in Portland called Finex Cast Iron, making high-quality premium cast iron skillets that did not exist with the U.S. sourcing. Most of them are French and other U.S. And that was surprisingly successful. The customers and users reacted very positively into the passion that we put in as a team. On that, I was able to find a partner and sell that to another company, a U.S.-made company that's called Lodge Cast Iron. That brand, and that freed me and a portion of my team up to tackle the other big product that you use in a lot of in kitchens, which is knives.
Right.
So that's how it started. We started kicking it on in 2019 and formally launched our first product in 2021 with an 8-inch chef knife, and followed up with a full line of the products. I was fortunate enough to find a great business partner who has 25 years of experience sharpening, making knives, and started as a busboy. His name is Eitan Zias. And we have kind of been able to get a team of experts and artisan and passionate people joining us and creating and developing this knife line starting then. So that's kind of the background. And then one of the impetus for this work was we went to local stores that typical customers would go into, you know, Williams-Sonoma's, Creative Barrels, sort of taps of the world that are available nationally.
Right.
And the only knives we found there was mass market produced knives, which are called stamped, and they're all made in Japan, Germany, or China.
Right.
And we knew that the best knives are actually artisan knives handcrafted in the U.S., but average customers cannot afford them. Those are over $1,000, even if they can find it. A lot of them right. are auction-based sale. So that was kind of the driver for us.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that about the competition and what was out there. And, you know, here I am in the home improvement world, but I do love to cook. It's a kind of a passion and a hobby of mine. But when it comes to tools, you know, there's been this trend over the past probably 25 years or so that many, many tools that were made here in the U.S., you know, companies got bought out, and they got bought out by, you know, companies that sourced the same tool that used to be made in the U.S., and they sent it to Asia to be built. And I would always claim that, you know, initially when that, before, when you still had the American-made tool on the shelf and you put it next to, you know, the exact duplicate made in Asia, while they looked the same, you could see a difference in the steel that the tool was made of. And I wonder if that's the case with the knives that you are making in Portland now.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you're making, Lou. That's very much the case. If you look at the products, and if you get on the website and trying to just randomly look for knives, it's really confusing.
Yeah.
To your point, there's a lot of, especially foreign-made products that are made very nicely looking like high quality.
Yeah.
The difference, I think, for us is that we are making knives for people we know, our neighbors, our friends, our people that are somewhere in the U.S. using and being proud of the products. So every single knife that we ship is not shipped to a random person to us, is to somebody that we feel accountable
right.
for. We have the three pillars for our products. One of them is iconic design, so we definitely want to make a product that customers proudly showcase in their countertop. Mm. Again, our customers are the best salespeople we have. But the second requirement we have is functional design. We don't have any desire in making hood ornaments.
Right.
So if
right.
you look at our knives, and I think you experienced it your first hand where you were at the Inspired Home Show earlier, this knife is extremely well balanced. Every place that you touch is rounded. There's features like curved boosters, contoured handle,
yeah.
and then the hardest steel at 65 Rockwell hardness that you can find in store. So those are areas that you cannot fake, you cannot do. But those are areas that after you buy the product 5 to 10 years from now, as you pick up the knife, you still appreciate it. And the third pillar we have is everything is U.S. source and locally manufactured. Actually, our steel and the forging comes from not too far from where you are sitting, Chicago. It actually comes from Gary, Indiana.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, we were able to work with a great partner and basically transform forging capability from automotive industry to forge knives. Our knives are one of the unique characteristics we have is they're actually drop forged.
You mentioned that most of those you know competitors, they're stamped literally like a sheet yeah. of steel, and they're stamping them and then sharpening them. With the forging, you just get such a higher quality material, right?
Construct, exactly. Actually, if you look at our icon, if your listeners get a chance to get on the website, steelportknife.com, you can actually see our icon. An icon is SS, but shaped in an industrial hook. The reason for that is industrial hooks have to be drop forged.
Mm.
The last thing you want to do is pick up 100 tons of something and it bends or breaks. There's a construct that's very, very important from that aspect. But yeah, that's one of the differentiation. And when you think about it, it's also harking back to the traditional way of making knives. You know, I ask my typical people that stop by our factory of what he can imagine, what do you imagine knife is made? And most people remember the blacksmith hammering
sure.
down over an anvil. that's basically the construct, except the anvils and the hammers are much bigger and a lot more tonnage than the person sitting there.
So you're building these in Portland, Oregon. You're getting the steel not too far from us in Gary, Indiana. That's probably the, you know, historically the one of the steel capitals of the U.S. How many different knives are you making? How do people acquire them? You know, how do they purchase them? And, you know, are there retail stores that are carrying them yet, or is it all online at this point?
Great question. So we carry five different types of knives. They are from a 4-inch paring knife, and followed by 6-inch chef knife, 8-inch chef knife, and then a 10-inch slicing knife, and finally a 10-inch serrated bread knife. Those are the five, and then we have accessories like a beautiful knife block, magnetic knife block that holds all five knives, and also each knife comes in with its own magnetic shield that actually can sheath, that can actually protect this individual knife in drawers or in traveling typing. We are sold on our website, steelportknife.com. That's our name, STELPORT, and the word knife, KNIFE.com. And also, we are local, carried nationally on, for the first time, an American knife is carrying a national chain. We are in Sur La Table.
Oh, nice.
And actually, there is a Sur La Table in your area in Naperville.
That's right.
In the Chicago area. And also, we have, you know, if any of your listeners want to actually touch and feel, we are sold in 60 locations across the U.S., including Apt store in Glenview.
Oh, that's great.
They should have samples there. You can get a chance to actually test the product samples in those locations. And then we also happen to be in multiple locations in Canada. Windsor, Canada is not too far north of you guys, and north of Europe, but also we are for first time in Tokyo. We got introduced in retailer, and that was took a year of evaluation by the retailer. And it's like I describe it as like taking a sparkling wine to champagne region, taking an American knife back into Japan.
I love it. Tell me a price point. Where do they start at, the knives? Because they're for people. I mean, these are an investment, but this is the kind of investment that's going to last a very, very long time.
Yeah, they range from $250 for the 4-inch to $450 for a bread knife, and we have sets that gives them discount. But again, as you pointed out, you're looking at this as heirloom lifetime investment, and they're actually half the price of the knives of similar quality.
Right.
Our aim was get that quality, not only make it American made, but also try to get it to location and price points that people can actually afford to look at it and enjoy some of the benefits. It's one of those cases that using our knife, one of the feedbacks I get from our customer is transition from food preparation going from being a chore to being a joy. And that's one of the most positive feedbacks we can get, the comfort and the experience of having a sharp knife that you actually use over and over and doesn't get dull after two or three usage.
Well, let me tell you, you've convinced me, because when we get done talking and I get done with my radio show, I'm going to go to steelportknife.com and I'm going to order myself a couple knives, because I do appreciate that. I love that you're making them in the USA. And I want lots of people to go to your website and check it out. Ron Cormai is the founder and CEO of a company called Steelport Knife, making U.S.-based knives here in the United States. They look amazing. They feel amazing. And I wish you good luck, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Lou. And I think the support from yourself and other partners. I mean, Chicago, we have amazing supporters like Chef Paul Kahn, the famous AVIC owner and chef. that have really given us excitement and energy to continue working. So we appreciate the support, Lou, you're showing, and your listeners.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 857-5574, Lou, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
A couple weeks ago, you talked about how to get rid of ants that aren't sugar ants. And I was driving in my car and I couldn't write it down.
So there is the company Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, makes a ant spray that's clear, no odor. And what I did is I had the same problem. They were not sweet ants. They had wanted nothing to do with the taro or the combat traps. And so where they were, because this stuff is clear, Do you have any animals?
No.
Okay. Spray the area where you see the ants, and in particular, pay attention to the nooks and crannies around there. It's a clear spray. Are you going to be spraying it like on a hard surface floor or carpeting?
No, on a hard surface.
Perfect. Tile. Spray it. Let it sit there, and put a couple chairs in the way so nobody steps on it. Leave it there overnight. That gets rid of the ants. And then you can come back with a damp cloth and wipe it all up. It comes off there, but it leaves some residual value. Then if you want to go ahead in the nooks and crannies where you're not exposing it onto the floor, it should work really well.
And then just leave it there, but you want to wipe it the next day then?
Well, if you see them on the floor, I sprayed it on the hardwood floor so that there was a nice coating there so that they went across there and they take it back, you know, they pick it up, they walk through it, and they pick it up, and then they go. There's still a nest somewhere, right? But they're not interested in the sweet traps or the sweet bait. And that goes back and eliminates it. And it's been now, I don't know, I did this 3 weeks ago, nothing.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, but here's one other thing I want you to do. There's an ant bait that Bonag makes called Revenge that's in a shaker. Because it's so damp outside right now with the rain and stuff that we've had, sprinkle that around the perimeter of your home. And that's a bait and a food to draw the ants outside and keep them from coming in. The combination of the 1-2 punch will work great.
Sounds great, Lou. Really appreciate it.
Happy Easter. Appreciate you calling this morning. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. More House Smarts Radio is coming up. We'll be right back. Driving to the airport. I heard you doing the news there. Andy, you're in tomorrow as well?
I'll be in tomorrow, yes.
Any holiday plans for you gentlemen at all, getting together for the holiday weekend?
Actually, no. It's going to be a very low-key holiday for me tomorrow.
Me as well. Yeah.
Lindsay, I know that you're preparing for the arrival of the Easter Bunny. Is that correct?
We are. The girls are very excited. We were supposed to have some extra guests come in, and I think the Easter Bunny may have over...
Produced.
And now they're not coming, so we're not really sure what...
So
what
there might be
here.
A little extra chocolate available for the family.
Correct. We might be finding eggs for the next year.
Here comes Andy. Andy loves it.
I'm right behind you, Andy.
I was thinking.
Please, take it all.
Gladly.
So, the Hershey eggs, which I think is what the Easter Bunny usually puts in the Easter eggs, right? That's the right amount of chocolate, too.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like the Hershey Kiss, not doing anything wrong with that. I love the Hershey Kiss. But there's something about the shape of the Hershey egg that I like. Kind of pop it in your mouth, let it melt. That's good.
I'm going to have to wait till after Passover is over.
Right. Okay. Right. Well,
but I can just
it doesn't
store them.
Go, Andy, the nice thing is it doesn't go bad.
I'll just store them in a nice, cool place, like their fridge, and then celebrate.
Right, exactly.
With 17 eggs.
How about 200?
Okay, I'll take that too.
Evidently, the Easter Bunny at Lindsay's house has plenty, so she won't even know that they're gone.
Good point.
200 eggs. That's a lot of eggs.
If we even find them all.
right, exactly. Because you never know where the bunny's putting that.
Does anybody like the marshmallow peeps, the little chickens, the little chicks?
I don't mind them. I know that it's a real hit or miss with people, but I will.
Peep guy. I'm not a marshmallow person at all. Like, I don't really like marshmallow.
I mean, it's pure sugar.
I was just going to say, I can taste it right now, and it is total sugar. Yeah.
No,
pop those on a peep s'more. Oh. So good. And pretty.
There you go.
And pretty. Well, then that's really all that matters. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is John calling in from Yorkville. Hey, John, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
How may I help you?
I have a newly constructed home that's about 10 months old.
Okay.
And it's a ranch with a full basement. And my floor creaks all over the place. And it sounds like people told me my trunk line moves around and all of that. And I don't know if I should be more particular about it. And the manufacturer came out and hammered in some wedges in some places or whatever, and it just moved the problem to other spots and that.
What is the finished floor on the top that you have up there?
It's hardwood? Manufactured wood.
So it's like hardwood, it's a hardwood. And you said the manufacturer came. Was this a modular home that you had built?
No, this was the builder. These homes are all newly built. And they just blow through them, building them one after the other or whatever, trying to get them done.
Right.
And I looked underneath at the joists, and they missed a whole lot of nails and in a whole lot of places. So I don't know how good they were in nailing it to the joists. And I don't know if I'm too particular.
Because we got
another meeting yet.
Yeah, no. I mean, the brand new house, the floor shouldn't creak. Okay, that's... That's something that should be in an old house, right? And the way that you explain that away is like, oh, that's charming because the floor creaks, but not in a brand new house. And, I mean, if you're down in the basement and you're looking up and seeing that, the nails have missed.
They missed a lot of nails. They came in and they moved one duct-worked bracket. They pulled it over like a quarter inch or whatever, re-nailed it. Mm. They're just putting a Band-Aid on the thing and... I called my village to see if I could have an inspection or whatever, and they haven't gotten back to me, but I think they want to charge me. But I don't mind paying somebody if I can find out what to do about it, because I have to live here.
Right, exactly. Okay, let me ask you this. When I'm down in the basement, is the house, you said it's a ranch, is the basement a giant rectangle?
Or does it
turn? Is it an L shape or anything like that? Just a big rectangle.
It's a big rectangle, but it doesn't go underneath the garage, so it's
okay.
There.
Now, when I go downstairs, then on the rectangle, on the long side of the rectangle, I'm going to assume that the joists run from wall to wall, maybe with a center beam going down the middle of the basement.
Yeah, there's a couple of center beams.
Okay, and.
And the center beams are all peeling and flaking off and dropping, and I was wondering if I should see if they would repaint it, because I'm going to have to scrape it and clean it myself.
Oh, they painted the beams?
Well, the beams come, in your industrial red or whatever.
Oh, it's the beams are metal. They're steel. They're I-beams.
Yeah, steel beams, and they're probably, just primers.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure that's the case. Okay, now, when I'm down in that rectangle and I've got that beam down the middle of the rectangle, from the beam to the outside wall, what's that distance, would you say?
I think it could be like 50 feet.
No, not 50. 50?
I think our house is like 100 feet long, and I thought it was 50 feet wide.
Okay. All right, well, and then the rest of the basement's wide open?
Yeah.
Okay. So from that beam, if it's 50 feet wide, well, okay.
So I have one exposed beam that runs the whole length of it. The other beam has a little wall cut out that it goes.
Sure. But so where that, so you're not, you're not, you're down in the basement now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So from that, if you stand underneath that beam and you walk to the outside wall, you know, your stride should be about 3 feet. How much do we have from the beam to the outside wall?
I didn't understand what you wanted.
Stand underneath the beam. And
yeah, I'm underneath the beam.
Now walk to the outside wall and tell me how many steps you take. Normal. Yeah.
Wall to wall?
No. From the beam, okay. From the beam to the wall, walk towards the wall. How tall of a man, how tall of a guy are you, John?
I'm 5'10". The beam must be 6 foot.
Okay, you're 5'10". So from there, walk from underneath the beam to the outside wall, your normal stride when you're walking, and tell me how many steps you took.
Okay. Eleven.
So that means it's 33 feet about from the beam to the wall. Now, when I look up at the joists, right, in between, they're probably 16 on center, correct?
Yes.
Are they dimensional lumber, or are they an engineered beam of some sort?
No, they're lumber.
And what would you guess the... Are they 2x10s?
Yeah, it looks like 2x10 or 2x12.
Okay. So if it's 2x12, the rule of thumb on 16 on center is it shouldn't go more than 24 feet. Now, in the space that you see the joist, right, I'm going to walk you through this. Do you see any horizontal bridging like every 6 feet? Like perpendicular pieces of wood?
No. Well, there are underneath one section towards the front hallway.
Okay, but when you're up on that finished floor, it's not only creaking, but that floor is probably bouncing too.
Well, it's really bouncing in the kitchen now, and I was reading on the internet how to strengthen them up.
No.
And they show metal.
You go back to the village, because based on everything that you just described to me right now, this thing is not framed properly at all. And it does not meet the building code of, where are you, in Yorkville? That's where you live?
Yes.
Yeah. There should be no charge, because you think that there's a building violation, and that's where I would start. Because we need to measure all this, so you know, I'm just guessing based on what you're describing to me, but if you're going from the beam to the outside wall and you just took that 11 steps, about 3 feet, you're 5'10", look at me, I'm like my daughter's the investigator, I'm not the investigator, but I'm figuring it all out. Anyway, you need to get them back there, because this thing doesn't have enough bridging, those joists don't have enough support, there might be another additional support beam or something that has to go in there, and that's where I would start.
Yeah, because my 30-pound dog shakes the floor when he's walking up and down.
That is loony toony. We don't want any of that. All right, do me a favor. I want you to please take my advice on this, and will you call me back once you hear from them and hopefully have them come out and see what the resolution is?
Sure, because I'm trying to get the village inspector to come out before my 1 year's up,
and 100%.
I lose any kind of warranty.
Well, you have a structural thing here that's a problem that needs to be addressed, and that goes well. That in the state of Illinois, that goes for 10 years, but still, you need to get this taken care of. I appreciate the phone call.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Easter. How may I help you?
Hey, I've got two York furnaces and air units. They're both efficient units, and they're 17 years old. The air conditioners are 22, and one of them has a leak in it, and you know, every 2 years or so I have to have it filled. I mean, is it time to just move on, or?
Well, I mean, you know, the issue there is, what you don't like about the leak is, you know, I was talking earlier today about greenhouse gases and stuff we're doing to the environment. That refrigerant leaking into the air is not good for any of us, and it's not good for the future of the world. So that's not a good thing. But I wouldn't spend a ton of money in them kind of troubleshooting a 17-year-old unit. Now, that being said, I mean, you said they both work well. You know, what is one like a first floor unit and one's a second floor unit?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Which one has the leak? First floor?
The first floor does, yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What's the plan for the house? You going to live there another 10 years? What, I mean, you know, and if you had a crystal ball, like, boy, if I could do this, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, we'll be here for a while, you know, so, yeah.
Well, then why don't you plan it out, not to spend your money, but, you know, since they're two separate units, replace the first floor unit and leave the second floor and keep that serviced until, you know, can you get 20 years out of that one? Sure. And then you're not spending, you know, replace the furnace and air conditioning complete. You know, I don't know how big the unit is, but, you know, it can be a $15,000, $17,000 proposition. And now we do times two, you know, I'm not good at math, but that's 30. You could do one this year. You could do one this year and, you know, keep the other one serviced. And, you know, if you get another 2, 3, even 5 years out of it, you're golden. And, you know, then if you stay there for a long time, you know, if one unit is 5 years older than the other, that's not a big deal to worry about, even from a resale standpoint, if something changed.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, I'll look at that then. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. Our Just Text Me segment is coming up after this report at WGN Radio News with Dave Schwann. Hi, give me... I was pouring myself a cup of coffee talking to my daughter. Apologies. Give people a place to gather and make fire the focal point for your home again with Majestic Fireplaces and Inserts. They're amazing, right? They get a contemporary style and the latest technology. Whether you're looking for wood, electric, or gas, indoors or out, Majestic offers a broad range of sizes and styles. You can visit their showroom on Bowes Road in Elgin or call for a free estimate. Ladies and gentlemen, we now have a phone number for my friends at Majestic Fireplaces. Here's the phone number. Free estimate, 847-741-5903. That's 847-741-5903. House of Fireplaces, giving you a warm feeling since 1953.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio. It's so
funny. 28 years I've been on the radio, and, why is it so quiet? And Bob Ferguson says, you're on the air. Oh, okay. It's so funny. Like a well-oiled machine. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. You can call us, or you can text us. And that's what this is, our Text Me, Just Text Me segment. Lindsay, do we have some Just Text Me this morning that we can talk about?
We sure do, Lou. Let's see. Hi. We have a bunch of them. Here is one. Good morning, Lou. I have an old mirror that is very cloudy. I've used Windex to no avail. Any product you would recommend?
No. And if you go and you find some product that says, it's going to get the cloudiness out, the cloudiness is not on the glass. It's the separation of the silvering and the glass, and it's not going to work. Once that happens, I know it's a bummer, but you have to replace the mirror. It's a bummer. Sorry.
Bummer. Lou, a few weeks ago, you mentioned a hard water softener that works only when you need it. Can you please advise the name again?
So that was a water softener from a manufacturer called Kinetico, K-N-I-E-T-C-O. And it is many of the water softeners that you buy have, they're electric and they have a regeneration thing. You set them on a timer and it's based on, you know, whatever. You know, Lindsay has two girls and, you know, there's four of them living in the house, and you kind of get a feel for how the water feels, and this is how you live your life. But our lives change a lot, right? So all of a sudden, I'm out of town for a week, and or even a couple of days, or you have guests over, and it's just always on that cycle. With the Kinetico unit, it's based on demand. So if all of a sudden you have 10 people over, And then a week later, that's just the four of you again. It adjusts. And I have had one, Mary Beth and I have had one in our home for, 17 years. And the home we have in southeastern Wisconsin, and it's fabulous. Mm. And it seems to not use as much salt that the other ones do because it only regenerates based on use. Kinetico is the name of the brand.
Kinetico. Lou, I have long... I just have to nod my head and kind of go with it, because most of the time I have no idea what you're talking about. Kinetico, water softener. No salt. Little salt. I have a laundry room with 35-year-old newspaper-thin type wallpaper on the walls. I'd like to paint over it and would prefer not to steam it off to save cost. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you can paint anything, but I mean, your setup of what's going to happen is in the opening line, newspaper thin. So the minute you put on any water-based paint on there, it's probably going to peel off because of that, and it'll be a complete mess, and you'll have a disaster on your hand. So I would not do that. Please paint over it, but try and remove what you have there. And there's a couple of really good wallpaper removal solutions. One is from a company called Diff, D-I-F, and the other one is from a company called Chomp. And while it's a little more work, I promise you, if you put that paint over the top, you'll regret it from the word go. So don't do it. Okay. One more, or we just have
three? No, that was three. I think we're good to go. Why don't you
all
take...
Right. That's our just text me segment.
Line one.
Yep. I'll take line one. 857-5574-LOU, 857-5574-568. This is Dave in Montgomery. Dave, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Got a question for you. We've had some hail over the last week, and I looked at my roof, you know, just from a ladder. Doesn't appear to be any real damage, but at the same time, there are a number of my neighbors with everybody and their brother's different signs in their house for having their roof checked, and looks like they're trying to get re-roofed. If I don't see any damage, am I fine, or should I get a hold of somebody, and who should I get a hold of?
You know, Dave, this is something that has baffled me forever, okay? So here these insurance companies are, you know, you hear all the time about, you know, oh, they're not going to pay for this, they're not going to pay for that. And then exactly what you just stated, I bet you if a roofing contractor that works with whomever insurance company you have came and inspected it and said you have hail damage, you would get a new roof and your insurance company would pay for it, and I don't get it. I don't understand. I have a really good friend of mine who is a former builder, so this guy knows more than me, and the same thing happened to him. And he went up there and he said, there is no damage. And the insurance company said, yeah, but, or the roofing contractor said, yeah, but you have hail damage and I can prove it. And the insurance company, and you know, he said, I want no insurance fraud. I want none of this. And they were like, but you have damage based on whatever the criteria is. He has a brand new roof. Like, Who's scamming who here? I don't get it. Like, why is the insurance company paying for this stuff if there's no damage? Honestly, you know, the thing, Dave, is that, so you're in this house, right? And this hailstorm or whatever is going to be part of the history when you go to sell the house, okay? And some new buyer, now this is assuming that they come and say, oh yeah, you need a new roof. You have all this damage, right? They're going to come and say, oh yeah, remember that hailstorm back in 2023? We had a new roof put on, right? Or the house next door goes for sale and yours is for sale at the same time. They had the new roof and you didn't. It makes no sense to me. But if they're going to pay for it and you're not committing any insurance fraud, then why is that your problem?
I'm trying to be honest.
Believe me, I am the same way. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, our daughter Carmen was driving to school. We had just bought a car that the kids were going to drive to school. We hadn't even had the car 6 months. And the car got in an accident, which ultimately was not her fault, but the car got totaled, okay? And when it came back, the insurance company came back and said, and it was a little Chevy Aveo. It's a small little four-door car that my daughter's named Rosa. And we hadn't even car it the 6 months. The car got smashed. No one was hurt, thank God, or everything. They said, okay, Mr. Manfredini, we're going to pay you for the car. We're going to pay you $14,000 from the car. And I said, we didn't pay $14,000 for the car. We paid $12,000 for the car. Well, but the car is worth $14,000. I go, no, no, no. You're paying me more than I paid for the car. I was insistent that I go, I want no, you know, insurance fraud here whatsoever. And they said, well, you must have gotten a really good deal on that car, which, by the way, my wife negotiated. And so they paid me the money. I'm just trying to be honest, right?
Right.
So Dave, be honest. Have someone do it. Talk to your insurance agent. Make sure everything's on the up and up. And if they say, yeah, Dave, we're going to give you a check for $10,000 for a new roof, enjoy your new roof.
Is there anybody in the Montgomery area that you would recommend for that?
You know, down south, about two people that would work down there that are honest and upfront. Rogers Roofing, they're a Southside company, so they'll do Montgomery for sure. And Lindholm Roofing, uh-huh. Lindholm Roofing will also be someone that'll do that work.
Okay. So call one of those two people.
Call them both. Call them both. Call them both and get an estimate from both of them.
Okay.
Then you decide. And then you decide.
Will they come out and inspect?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I've seen just in my area, there's probably six homes that have got signs up already.
Right, right, right.
But there's nobody that's the same person.
Exactly.
They're all different companies.
Exactly. You know what they call those? You know what they call? They call those guys Chuck in a truck. You don't want Chuck in a truck. You want a legit roofer.
Gotcha. Roger and Lindholm Roofing.
You got it.
Thank you very much, Lou.
Happy Easter. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574, Lou. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. If outdoor projects like a new deck, porch, or patio are on your must-do list this year, now is the ideal time to start planning so you can enjoy it all summer long. An Architect of Chicagoland is the ideal company to create your outdoor space. Whether it's a new deck, patio, outdoor kitchen, or porch, Architect can do it all. Architect's design professionals create solutions that blend form, function, and affordability. There is nothing better than getting home and relaxing in a space that you truly enjoy. Go to architectofchicagoland.com and get inspired for your family's new gathering space. Architect's professional staff is focused on design, quality, and service. From start to finish, they'll walk you through the entire process. They have created thousands of outdoor gathering spaces for Chicagoland families. Start planning now to enjoy your space this year with a free consultation. Decks, paver patios, pergolas, screen porches, sunrooms, outdoor kitchens, and more. They even have financing available. Your new family time begins at Architect. Know how to spell it? I'll tell you. ARCHADECK. ArchitectofChicagoland.com. That's ArchitectofChicagoland.com.
I have a plumbing question. I live on the south side in a 1934 Chicago bungalow. All the plumbing is original. In my shower, I have a single valve mixing valve, and it leaks all the time. I mean, you have to crank it with two hands to stop it from leaking. Mm. The name on it is Mixmaster. I've searched all over the internet on how to rebuild it, and I can't find anything, and I don't have any water shutoffs except the main. So if I open this thing up and it doesn't, and I can't fix it, I have no water. And the wife will leave the house.
we're not planning to do this weekend, are we? The Easter weekend?
No, I'm not going to touch it. I remember when I first moved in, I've been here 40 years, I put I did something with oakum, and I found oakum in the medicine cabinet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
But I
Wait. Hold on a second. So in Chicago, they moved, but there is a company called the Fawcett Shop. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Google them.
Okay.
They have all these hard-to-find parts. That's like an institution in Chicago. It's on the north side. Where are you in Chicago?
In Beverly.
Okay, well, you're going to take a drive. You call them, tell them what you have, and they'll say, they're either going to tell you, no, we don't have those anymore, they don't make that anymore, or, yeah, I got parts for that. And then you may, you know, be able to take it out, and like you said, no water. But if you get in trouble, you know, you may have to, send, do you have another bathroom in the house?
No.
No. Okay. Well,
that's why she's leaving.
and do you have access? So in other words, where this bathroom is the basement area, like, do you see the risers that head to this bathroom?
Yes.
Okay. So worst
case, I have an access panel in the linen closet behind it.
Okay, so you could, in worst case scenario, it sounds like you've got some skill here, or you get a plumber to help you. You could add some shutoff valves to this.
A commercial plumber, but he knows nothing about it.
Got it. Do some Googling. Talk to the guys at the faucet shop. They should be able to help you and make your decision. But then you may want to, at the same time, do some shutoffs to that bathroom just so it's not the whole house that gets shut down.
I was thinking that the pipes are exposed. So,
right.
And they probably need to be changed over to copper anyway.
100%.
Thanks, Lou.
You got it. Be well. Happy Easter. Appreciate you calling. Hey, our last call is sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make. And our last caller is Bess. But guess what? She just went on. She just disappeared. You know how it goes on that hold on the phone system? So we're going to get Bess back. She's going to be our last caller from our friends over at Mitsubishi Electric. Or actually, you know what? If we can't find Bess, well, no, I think we can, right? We can get her back, can't we? Or no? Are you looking? Give him 1 second. I want to remind you that I've got my virtual candy jar up at WGNradio.com. If you go to WGNradio.com/candy, I have a virtual candy jar that you can contribute. The last weekend in April is Misericordia Candy Days, a fabulous organization that my wife and family have supported for years. I hope you will support it as well. Misericordia is a home for 600 adults and children with developmental disabilities and is one of the finest places on planet Earth helping people. And if you can find it so much to donate, just go to WGNradio.com/candy. Here's Bess, our last caller, sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. Hi, Bess.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is that I had my bathtub refinished many years ago. It needs to be redone, but in the meantime, try to find somebody. What kind of cleaner can I use? Because it's in bad shape. I'm so embarrassed. I usually keep the shower door closed.
I want you to, if you want to clean it until you get it refinished, one of my favorite bathtub and shower cleaners is a product called Kaboom.
You have to cut.
K-A, and then the next word is boom, boom, B-O-O-M.
B-O-O-M.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And it comes in a white and purple bottle. And what I would do is spray it on there, let it sit for a good 5 minutes or so, right? Okay. And then wear some gloves and use a Scotch-Brite pad with medium pressure in a circular motion to clean it all up. And I think that you will be really happy with the results. It's a really, really good cleaner. And you can use it in the toilet. You can use it on the walls. It's a really, really terrific cleaner. But the secret sauce is to apply it and let it sit there for a little bit before you do the scrubbing.
Okay, can I use a Brillo pad to scrub it?
Be careful. Yeah, I don't want you to use anything metal because you said that the tub has to get refinished. You'll probably start to take off the finish. Just use like a synthetic scrubbing pad, like a Scotch-Brite pad.
Okay. One more thing. What's your take on the bath fitters?
I mean, the bath fitter relining thing is amazing. They come in, they measure everything up, they make sure that there's no damage of what you have now. They will have a perfectly made cover that goes on the tub that you have, put up the walls, and if you upgrade to some of the stuff that looks like tile, you will be amazed at how beautiful it looks. And most of the time, they can do it all in one day, the install.
Okay. All right. Well, that's on the back burner. Yeah, that's on the back burner.
I
was just basically focusing on this tub because, like I said, it's gross. You just shower. No one wants to sit down.
I understand. All right. You got your marching orders. Get that all cleaned up before Easter Sunday, and I think you'll be in good shape. Thanks so much for the phone call. Yeah, we're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios, the mobile studios down here in New Orleans, Louisiana. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back.